if you had considered selling your racetrack, but you had never told anybody about it, but you didn't want to be the guy out there waving his hand saying, oh, I'm selling my racetrack. If you want somebody else to be out there marketing it for you, it just brings a prestige to your market. It allows for somebody else to actively go out and get those while you run your racetrack. And it creates this buffer.
Welcome to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate Show. Whether you are an active or passive investor, we'll teach you how to scale your real estate investing business into something big.
Zach Reisinger is a commercial real estate broker. He's the CEO of CREProCourse.com and also a real estate syndicator. Zach, welcome to the show.
Sam, good to be here, my man. Very appreciative of you, and thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Pleasure's mine. Three questions I ask every guest who comes on the show in 90 seconds or less. Where'd you start? Where are you now? How'd you get there?
Great questions. I'll start now. Clock.
Go.
I came from Denver, Colorado. My father is a real estate broker, did land and big deals throughout my childhood. So I was brought into commercial real estate early, understand the cyclical flow of it and how some days can be really great and other days can't. You have to come back to your family every day with a positive smile on your face when things are great and when things are not. I've traveled to over 100 countries around the world, live now in Austin, Texas. And as you mentioned, I am the CEO of CRE Pro Course. CRE Pro Course is a online course that allows or teaches new agents who have yet to close their first deal to get their first listing and their first closing in the first 6 months so that they can bridge that gap in between coming over from residential real estate, maybe, or they're getting into it from another field altogether. So sometimes it's hard to get into commercial real estate because the closing time for your first closing is so long. Most people can't last that long, but we teach you how to do it in your first 6 months. Some people do it in 2 months. So I also work in syndication and I work in brokerage as well. So I sell warehouses, very obscure things, a racetrack I have on, a car dealership, a recycling center. So I really like the obscure deals and I'm always looking for more. So Sam, let's get together and do a deal soon, man.
Sounds like a winner, man. That's a lot of fun and also a lot of different moving parts. How do you choose which one to focus on?
Great question. It's funny because I have employees and I work for people in each of these companies and they say, you know, this is mind blowing, Zach. I can barely keep one job straight, you know, throwing all the balls in the air and keep throwing them up. And it's just time attention to particular task and importance, right? I attach a beta to every task that I'm doing. Is it really important? Do I need to do it now? And can somebody else help me do this? So as we talk about scaling real estate venture, it's really important to be able to identify those tasks which you're uniquely skilled to do that your company relies on you for, and then make sure that you can, though you could probably do most tasks in your company, Sam, it's really helpful to be able to standardize those tasks and then create a procedure around them and then have somebody who's maybe better apt at doing them actually follow through with it. So a good example is real estate flyers, right? When we get a new listing, you and I could probably sit down at InDesign or Paint Program and come up with a really good looking flyer. But is that the best use of 6 hours of our time? For me, it's probably not. There are other people on my team that are really good at it, but they need to know what goes on there because they're really good at design, but they're not in the day-to-day, right? They don't understand the intrinsic value behind what I'm trying to sell in the commercial property. So it's really important to be able to scale out a business. And the way you do that is by standardizing, creating procedures, and then replicating yourself and really focusing on the things that you're good at. And more so on my teams, I know that there's some, like I call them whale hunters, right? Some of the brokers that work for me, they are really, really good at closing deals, opening. They're really good at relationship management. They're terrible at paperwork. So I don't want them doing paperwork. It's a bad use of their time. It's a bad use of our resources. There are people on our team that are really good at it, right? You know, they're wizards at CoStar. They're wizards at Crexie. They can draft again. They can draft a flyer that makes just like, you know, mind blowing.
Right.
But for them to do that, we have to have people going out. We have to have team members going out and actually getting the business. Without the whale hunters out there finding new deals, there's nothing for the rest of the team to do. So it's my goal as a manager or as a teammate or anywhere in the organization is to put the right people in the right places and make sure that they're happy doing and well compensated for doing what they do and that they're held to the certain standard that, you know, a winning team is going to be held at. And if there's a breakdown, if there's an issue, if there's a bottleneck, we as managers, Sam, it's really important to be able to identify those and clear the bottleneck. So a lot of my time is spent addressing what works, what doesn't, and how to standardize and scale those things which do work.
What about your current mix of businesses keeps you going out and still actively doing listings? It seems like that would be one of those things as you're talking that you would say, hey, wait, just from an efficiency standpoint.
Yeah.
If you have a team of brokers, you guys take this, you guys go list it. Why are you still involved in that side of it?
I always ask my father this same thing too. Why does he not become a director or a sales manager? Or I just think it's really fun. I can be a little bit more selective on what I take now, but I tell all of our newer guys, like, take whatever is out there. Somebody that you used to go to college with, you run into them at a restaurant. They say, oh yeah, I own this restaurant. I'm thinking about selling it. Great. Let's figure out how to, you know, get you in the door and show you how to list that. Now, if you decide you don't like restaurants, listing restaurants, well, then we'll try it one time. If you don't like it, we'll move on to something else. But always be willing to say yes. In fact, earn the right to say no. And I know that Steve Jobs and there's others that say, Warren Buffett, that it's more important the things you say no to than those that you say yes. However, when you're first starting out, I mean, you want to try. This really pertains to listing. I have oftentimes a listing agent or a newer agent that says, well, you know, if I can't sell it, what happens? And I said, well, okay. Then you spent some time learning about a new field of study. You practiced something new. You met a new potential client who's going to exude your praises. Because the property didn't sell, that's part of your fault. But also, there's a lot of other factors that are out there. And I was referencing before the economy, right? Or just, you know, the hot topic of the hour. Here in Austin, we're starting to see a lot of resurgence back to an altered office. So, and I say that by, I come from Denver, Colorado, and I worked on this project called the Taxi Project, which is taking old warehouses and refurbishing them, making them cool offices. Well, I just saw yesterday that I'm now big on TikTok. I'm a CRE Pro Network on TikTok. But I saw on TikTok, this guy was highlighting an office building or a new office. I called them warehouse, I think warehouse office buildings that were going for top dollar. And I think that that's going to be one of those things where historically it has been a office building. Everybody gets in an elevator and goes up. And now people are saying, you know, I kind of want a hybrid office. These cool, chic new buildings are pretty cool. So to answer your question, it's really just going to be what is exciting and appealing to you and what keeps you going and gets you going every day. For me, it's not repetition and it's not necessarily the money. I don't really like when it becomes repetitive. You could sell the same, you know, warehouse over and over again, but is that really that exciting? So picking up new properties, picking up new projects, meeting new clients, one of the most fun part about brokerage and actually selling something is going out, hanging out with the dudes with the welders that are just in overalls and I'm in an Italian leather suit and they're saying, oh, look at this guy over here. And I'm like, no, guys, like, well, I really want to know. Tell me more about this property. Tell me more about what you like and what you don't like and what you would change. And so there's sometimes that's like, those are the best people to actually get some insight from are people that are working and living there every day, not just the expenses and the NOI and the cap rate of it, but actually saying, hey, I don't know if you know, to a new, let's just say a prospective buyer, I don't know if you saw this over here, but this is a unique feature that you won't find anywhere else. And I wouldn't have noticed it unless I talked to the guys who are right on the shop floor. So that's what I really like about brokerage is actually meeting and talking to people, getting outside of the spreadsheets and delivering value above and beyond. And I know it's coy to say, but that's how our business, I think, really scales out is that the way that you advertise is by doing a good job. If you're in residential real estate, you have a big billboard or, you know, you're on the side of a bus or something like that. But in commercial real estate, it's completely reputation. When somebody goes to sell their recycling facility and they're like, I don't know anybody in commercial real estate and they're at their country club or at their, you know, the baseball game. And they say, oh yeah, Zach Raisinger. I know that guy. He sells just about everything. And he was really good. He got us top dollar or he did a great job marketing. So all of the above, and it feeds into itself, Sam. I would say that it's just much like your business is that as I do CRE Pro course, and I have had a chance to launch our television show and we have coffee with closers. My clients and some of my best clients today actually were guests on my show, just much like this. I had them come on, talk about what they did. They got to ask questions about commercial real estate. People gave me social proof by being the, you know, leading this TV show. And so when they went to go sell their building, they said, you know, there's only one guy I can think of, the guy I keep seeing on YouTube and, you know, Facebook Live and LinkedIn Live, that Zach guy, he sells real estate. So they cross-pollinate.
Awesome. Man, I love it. I love it. You get a lot of moving pieces there. Let's talk about these nuanced properties. It's one thing to find, okay, you know, I beat on multifamily quite a bit because I'm just kind of bored with it, to be honest. Talk about getting bored. But it's like everybody, you could find a million buyers for a multifamily. I mean, you could be the worst broker in the world, and I think you could move a multifamily property right now. I think it's a lot easier to move something such as a multifamily property, I'm presuming here, over something much more nuanced like a racetrack.
Absolutely.
How in the world are you even finding or targeting the right buyers? Because it's not like people are just hanging out on LoopNet or Craigslist all the time going, man, I'm looking for
a buyer. Well, I often think the same thing. And then I think to myself, well, it's a niche product, right? It's much easier, I believe, than selling a multifamily property because there are only so many ferrous and non-ferrous metal reproducers in this planet. And they all know where my client is located. Like they do business with this person. And so it makes it very easy that no one's going to get out of a completely different business and just try their hand at a $25 million operation. No, they do it right now. They're just looking to expand their operations. Yes, identifying the right one, that's a little bit more difficult. And because of that, we enter into a pretty ironclad agreement with the seller because oftentimes I say this sort of in jest, but a lot of our job in brokerage, I believe, is to come in as a third party and, well, market a property, which you may have thought was for sale or not, but I'm the one who validates that. So if you had considered selling your racetrack, but you had never told anybody about it, but you didn't want to be the guy out there waving his hand saying, oh, I'm selling my racetrack. If you want somebody else to be out there marketing it for you, it just brings a prestige to your market. It allows for somebody else to actively go out and get those while you run your racetrack. And it creates this buffer. So if you didn't want to sell to somebody, for example, you don't have to address them directly because I'm sure in the racetrack world, for example, it's pretty small. You're going to see that person again at the next racetrack owner meetup or whatever. So that's what's a great part about having a broker. And I think the other part of it is the marketing. I really think that for us and in order to scale, it's always been an issue with, you know, you don't just stick a sign in the yard anymore when you're trying to sell commercial real estate. You actually have to be pretty dialed in terms of the ability to replicate and scale. And I think that's much a testament to your show here, Sam. And I come out of computer and software sales, and those guys really have it dialed in. I moved from Brazil up here to Austin to go through an IPO with a company called Cloudera. And the companies, they'd taken $1 billion in investment at that point. A company that has $1 billion and their only objective is to get on as many companies, Fortune 500 companies as possible, they're going to spend whatever it takes in terms of software and scaling and replication and automation in order to make sure that their salespeople are utilizing their time the best so that they get the most orders so they can get the highest stock price when they do go public. So I just take a page out of the book from the software salespeople in that you want to be just like you're doing here, Sam, which is a one-to-many approach, allowing people to engage with you when they're ready, but exemplifying that you are a master of your domain or what you're trying to put out there into the world to say, here's who Zach Raisinger is, here's who Sam Wilson is. And if you want to do one of these things, if you want to buy or sell a racetrack, I know the guy, but I'm not calling the people that are selling and buying racetracks. They're calling me because I've talked about it or because somebody said, hey, you think this thing is ever going to go up for sale? Or maybe I just got it out there with my marketing team to some degree. And somebody says, oh, I saw this on Facebook the other day, or I saw this on a Google ad the other day, or I saw a video on this the other day. We may want to buy this asset, or we may want to talk to the guy who's trying to sell it. And there's only one of me out there. So yeah, I think that's a lot of what it required, which is the one-to-many philosophy, and then allow people to engage with you, but make it very, very easy. I want to highlight one of these things that I might be embarrassing you, but you do the same thing on your podcast as I do on mine, which is make it really, really easy for your guests, make it really, really easy for your clients and your contacts to complete the task that your objective or your goal is. And I reminded of that this morning when somebody asked me, can you write a recommendation for me on LinkedIn because I'm trying to get a job at this brokerage? And I said, I would love to, I, first of all, don't have the bandwidth to think that hard through it and look through like what you've been doing over the last few years, but I like you and I'll do it for you. Make it really easy for me. Tell me who it is. Provide me an email of what that looks like and what you would like me to do. I am more than happy to, I'll edit it. I wouldn't say anything that I don't mean, but it's going to be the same. It's going to be, hey, this guy, Johnny, is a great guy. Have a conversation with him, Bobby. If it works out, great. And if it doesn't, that, you know, it's just another connection for you, but do it as a favor to me.
Right.
And the only way that, you know, he's going to get that meeting maybe is if I write that letter, but I'm not going to remember to do that after the 97 things that I have to do. So make it really easy for somebody. The same thing on an email, make it a clickable link, right? If I put up 6 listings on Friday and I created, or I had my marketing team create 6 different bullets, 6 different web pages with 6 different information sheets on it. So that if I had to give it to somebody, or if I had to give it to, you know, send it out to a few brokers I thought might be interested, I could just send them this. They could click on it. It has a way, a call to action at the bottom, makes it really, really easy. But don't make somebody work harder than they need to, because they won't.
Right. That's absolutely, man, spot on. That goes for reviews, LinkedIn recommendations. Man, when anybody asks me for something like that, I say, you write it, send it to me. I'll make my tweaks. I will. It'll come. It'll be from Sam Wilson, but you're going to write it. And I'm going to just edit a few little words here and there, make it authentic. Because I'm, again, as you said, I'm not going to say anything I don't mean, and I'll delete it if I don't mean it, but make it easy for me. And that goes for listings. That goes for onboarding clients in, you know, investors. I'm dealing with a thing today and I'm like, oh, wait, that link is going to take them here. And then they got two. No, we're not doing 3 steps. This is 1 step. 1 step. Give me your money. Like,
I believe it's Occam's razor as well, right? Make the path of least resistance the most apt choice. Right. And why I say that is at the end of Coffee with Closers, my podcast, I say, how can people get in touch with you? But I pre-warn them and say, hey, look, have something loaded up, but make sure it's not temporary, right? Don't give me your Clubhouse username or whatever it is, you know, like it's something that might not last the test of time or may not even last as long as this, you know, as this podcast or my podcast or whatever, but do something that like is where you're heavily followed. So if it's LinkedIn is where you do a lot of business, but you're trying to grow your TikTok, and I'm speaking personally because I'm trying to do this right now. I'm big on LinkedIn Live, but I'm really small on TikTok Live.
Yeah.
So I tempt myself to say, oh, I could build my audience by sending them to my TikTok channel. Well, if TikTok doesn't work out for me, I know LinkedIn will long-term. Right. Like that's just where business gets done. But don't sacrifice in the short term. Really, you can build your audience organically on TikTok and you can mention it maybe, but stay with the channel where you're going to deliver the most value. And then once they get there, once they're on LinkedIn, which you know has, you know, 20,000 people that follow you, sure, mention it on there as well, right? Then they can redirect and go to TikTok. But when there's too many steps, Sam, is if you ask somebody to endorse you here, 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 I get like 1 or 2 maybe. And then I'm like, okay, like I'm endorsed out. I want to do this for you. And if there was 1 button I could push that would syndicate across all of them, I would do it. I wish it would post to all of them. And there may be something out there where people are going to email in that to your program here and say, oh, well, Zach, you should use this really great plugin, which, you know, that is one of your questions on your sheet here. And I think that knowledge is power. And the more resources we can get out there, the better. My number one tool for commercial real estate or real estate in general, and I think everybody should look into this because it's not that expensive. It's maybe $100 a year, is one called Land Glide. It's really just the shortcut way. It's available on iPhone and maybe Android as well. It's in the Apple store. So maybe it's just, anyways, what it allows or what it does is it systematically organizes on a map all of the CAD data. So the central appraisal district data. It's also kind of a cool parlor trick, right? If you're driving down the street and someone says, hey, what do you think that house is, the value of that house is? Well, sometimes it's hard on Zillow and Trulia or Redfin or something to like dial in on that. Then it's like speculative. It's the Zillow price or Zestimate. This one is actually just the appraisal district and how much of the land is used for agriculture and how much is, you know, for the residential, how big is the house, square footage, is all the stuff that's in the central appraisal district, but it's just in a very easy to read format. So it's one of the few apps that I pay for and I relish, try to offer that as much as possible to someone who, particularly if you're driving in a neighborhood, you're like, oh, I really like this neighborhood. I really would love to purchase this building. How do I get in touch with the owner? The owner is written right there, right? Like, and maybe it's an LLC or maybe it's a business entity, but that's really, you know, go to opencorporate.org or com. You can find out where the phone number is, who the board directors are. It's one more step, but it's also like, if you really want something, you're going to have to put in some effort. This just eliminates about 10 of the steps going with LandGlide. So I heavily endorse them outside of my own software, which is creprocourse.com. Plug it.
On that note, Zach, yeah. What is the best way to get a hold of you?
I am Zroesinger on LinkedIn. So I'm Zach Raisinger. Find me on LinkedIn. And what I always ask him and encourage you to do the same, it's hard for me to always put together exactly who is the best contact for you. So Right. Tell me who that is. If we connect today and you say, hey, great to connect, we call it pitch slap. Don't pitch slap me. Don't tell me how I need auto insurance or, you know, we should jump on a call to find out whatever, my car warranty or something. Yeah, let me know how I can help you out. And that's not necessarily going to be buying your product today. Right. But if it's an introduction, I'm more than happy to do that, even if we just connect. Because that's what LinkedIn, I believe, should be used for. It shouldn't be used for selling. It should be used for connecting. Providing connections is what we do, Sam. It's one of the biggest things in commercial real estate. We connect A and B, and we get paid handsomely for that, or at least we solve the connection problem between A and B. LinkedIn helps me do that because it shows me what your skill set is, and it also shows me or allows me to connect you directly to your next big investment or your next client.
Love it, Zach. Thank you for coming on the show today. I certainly appreciate it.
I really appreciate it. Please come on Coffee with Closers or follow everything we're doing at creprocourse.com. I really appreciate your time today, Sam.
Thank you. Yeah, we'll certainly make sure to put that in the show notes, creprocourse.com. Thank you, Zach. Appreciate it.
You're the man. Thank you. Thank your audience.
Hey, thanks for listening to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate podcast. If you can do me a favor and subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, whatever platform it is you use to listen. If you can do that for us, that would be a fantastic help to the show. It helps us both attract new listeners as well as rank higher on those directories. So appreciate you listening. Thanks so much and hope to catch you on the next episode.